Lion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 23rd, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize that we are in the time of the end. And that's the time of that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. Sounds like my throat, I'm getting my cold back. But anyway, it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Make a personal relationship with him. If you don't have a personal relationship and get your heart right, then all is lost. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. Folks, you can get that personal relationship through repentance and get on your face and pray. How many times a day do you pray to your Father in Yeshua's name? And that's right, you must pray to the Father in Yeshua's name, because then he said in that day that you ask me nothing, but you ask of my Father in my name. That was when you'd receive it. So that's what you need to do. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. If you're on the Internet, you can also send me an email. That is a really good way to contact me and give me your phone number there. Sometimes that'll get quicker than the 600 number because I get a lot of calls. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, prayer, and we're going to bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, and surely not my will, Father, and not necessarily our guest's will. And please give us all ears in which to hear the truth tonight. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I don't know if you know, but last week we had Karen Anderson on Mission Watch. And she, the program, we found out later it sounded like with her program she was trying to say that. It sounded like that she was saying that Rabbi Kaduri saw the Antichrist. And so we took it down off the air. We took it, you know, out of the archives. And I told her, I said, Karen, is this what you're saying? And she said, no, that wasn't what she is saying. So I said, well, if you tape a little blurb about a minute long and say that you wasn't referring, you know, in that manner, and then I'll put it on the front of that audio that's in the podcast and put it back up to podcast. I have yet to hear back from her. So, anyway, you need to double-check everything that you hear from anybody. Pray about what they say, what they do, and so on and so forth. Well, tonight I brought Steve Henderson back with me. He recently sent me a DVD. I really haven't had time to watch it, Steve, but I intend to very soon. That DVD that he sent is called The Time of the End, The Abomination of Desolation. Now, we're going to talk about that tonight, or rather he is, and I'm going to try and make some wonderful comments. So let's bring Steve on. Are you there with me, Steve?
Grace and peace to you, Brother Dan. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. And it's always the same with you. Grace and peace. Grace and peace with you too, brother. I'm just in a laughing mood tonight. I'm trying to be in a good mood. Upbeat. Last hour I talked with a doctor about a book he wrote about Obamacare, and that was kind of a downer subject, so I'm looking for some good news.
Well, the good news is Yeshua is coming, brother. That's the news that I have, you know, and I think that sometimes It's like, you know, when I began to talk about that concept, and, you know, if you look through the New Testament, brother, you find that concept all over Scripture. When Paul said, we which are alive and remain, he thought he was part of the we. When Peter said, the time is near, therefore let us watch and be sober, they were looking for the kingdom of Yeshua to come back in their day. And yet Yeshua gave many signs that said, hey, listen, guys, this is going to happen before I come back, but I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I do, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you can be also. And my friend, what hope do we have outside of the coming kingdom? I mean, and if you see these events, even though there might be bad news that we see all around us, and I'm going to share a little bit with that, unfortunately, I don't want to take away your happy face tonight, Pastor Dan. But I think it's high time to wake up out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed.
Well, amen. Let me say this. And that's what I've been saying the last couple of weeks. It's been really impressed on my heart to tell people they need to get their hearts right. I don't know whether something's coming really bad soon, but all things that are bad takes us closer to Yeshua's return, and as in birth pains, hard for a while, easy, hard, easy until the final birth pain. But, you know, this program is about warning, and we started blowing the shofar when the Arab Spring started, because I felt the time was really getting closer, and I felt pressed on my heart to put it on this program. But I do believe that your program tonight should bring good news, because we'll, one, know what to look out for, and two, it brings us that much closer. So, Steve?
I think it's imperative, Pastor Dan, to be informed. I think the more you're informed, the more you look. Yeshua said, watch and pray. And if there were ever a time that we need to be watching, unfortunately, I see most people, they don't even know what's going on around their own backyard, their own neighborhood, let alone the city they live in, you know. They're so wrapped up with the care of this life and the deceitfulness of riches that it's choking them out. You know, Yeshua said that. He said, when he gave all the signs of the end, he said, you know, be careful. And when he said be careful, I think we ought to pay close attention to what he said after that fact. He said, be careful lest your heart is weighed down with the cares of this life. And my friends, I see so many weighed down, and you know, he's got everyone bogged down, and it's where they're just keeping their head above the water, trying to make enough money to pay their electric bill, and you know about that, don't you, Pastor Dan?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're just always trying to keep the mission church bills on.
Yeah, and so we're so busy that we don't see the things happen around us, and I think at some point in time we have to stop and stand still and say, okay, let's take a good look at what the prophecies say, and that's why I'm so excited about Bible prophecy, and have been for, you know, over 25 years, because it alerts you that this beautiful hope that we have, and that's the hope that Yeshua is coming again, is right at the door. He said, when you see these things, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing near. So,
yeah, amen.
Last time I talked, it was here a couple of weeks ago, I began to talk about the issue of Jerusalem. Yeshua said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached and a witness to all the world, and then the end will come. Whether we recognize there's going to be an end or not, Yeshua said there would be. And that the gospel would go to the ends of the earth, and through satellite and all kinds of other venues of missionaries and internet and everything. You know, we know that that gospel is all over the earth. And then he said, when you therefore see, connecting the two statements together, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, whoever reads, let him understand. And he says, standing in the holy place. So when he spoke that particular prophecy and he connected it to the gospel going to the ends of the earth, there is a connection with the end and the abomination of desolation. In most cases, and a lot of people that I've talked to, I have put the abomination of desolation in the year 70 A.D. And I believe that there was a partial fulfillment there, because it surely did meet a lot of the specifics. However, when you look at the rest of the details that's found in the book of Daniel, you'll find out that very clearly that there are some things in Daniel that we need to look at in relationship to the abomination of desolation that had never been fulfilled in a historical light. In fact, the abomination of desolation is tied into a great tribulation such as never was since there was a nation, and to this time, and had not time been shortened, no flesh would be saved. But hallelujah, Yeshua will come and shorten the time and gather his elect from all the ends of the earth, and we're going to go home. But, you know, what is entailed with the abomination of desolation, and what is this all about? I believe it also connects with that last talk that I had here a couple of weeks ago about the city of Jerusalem. And we recognize that last week the prophet Zechariah had spoken a prophecy that said that he was going to bring all nations, Yahweh would bring all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And so at some point in time, that little piece of property over there called Jerusalem is going to be the center point and focal point of the world. And why would that happen? I believe the scriptures are very, very clear as to what will happen in that day. And so let's start with the statement that Yeshua made about the end and the abomination of desolation again.
Okay.
For when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now, first thing I want to say is it doesn't imply like we're going to be gone from here. Okay? A lot of people believe that during this time the rapture will come. And we're going to be out of here, and, you know, the wicked are left to struggle for 3.5 or 7 years, depending on what theology you listen to. But Yeshua clearly said, when you see this, so it's going to be something that we're going to be aware of, because those who read are going to understand. It's going to apply to the holy place. And anyone who is reading the scriptures back in that day, and it's a hermeneutical mandate to take and put your place back when Yeshua is speaking, like the issue of Gehenna, when he was speaking about the issue of hell. When he was speaking of Gehenna, he was talking about the Valley of Hinnom. And so it's important to put your feet into the context that Yeshua was speaking of. When he said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, a couple of the other writers say standing where it shouldn't. I propose to you, Brother Dan, that in Jerusalem, that is a very, very special spot, as we recognized last time we got together and talked, to Yahweh. It said that he would put his name there, and it would be there forever. It was so important that he had Solomon build a house there. And then eventually that was torn down and another house was built there for him to dwell in. And then in AD 70, the Roman armies came around and destroyed the temple exactly the way Yeshua said it would happen. Not one stone left upon another, but I don't believe, in my own opinion, that particular prophecy has met its literal, concise fulfillment yet, because there's still a big wailing wall there with massive stones, a retaining wall of the temple. And I believe that when that little piece comes down, that you're going to see the end of the matter. And I believe
you opened up a can of worms, because I now want to ask you.
Okay.
Yeah, it said literally one stone would not be left upon another. And so I've wondered that many times. So if the wailing wall is still part of that, then it hasn't been fulfilled?
My opinion, I just believe that
That's what I'm asking. In your opinion, it hasn't been fulfilled. I'm not trying to catch you on something.
I understand that, Pastor Dan. In my estimation, I should say, I believe that wall is over there as a testimony, first of all, as a witness to the world, that there was a Jewish temple sitting on top of that
right.
mountain where there are two Islamic mosques at this moment. And that just happens to be the holiest spot of Judaism. The Jews still believe that the Yahweh had never left his presence, because that wall is still there. And if you get to looking at the conflict between the Wailing Wall and the Islamic wall, who has the leadership over the Temple Mount. In fact, they just made a proclamation here last week that and claim that wall as their own. So we are getting ready to see some pretty incredible things happen over there. As you look in the news, and I want to try to build up a little scenario because we got to understand how it's going to get to this point. And because it is starting, it did start on the Mount of Moriah when Abraham lifted his knife and went to sacrifice his precious son Isaac. And when Yahweh stayed his hand, that place became very, very special. It's the city of the great king. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in a city of our God in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole world is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. But are you aware that when Isaiah prophesied about Lucifer, he said that he would also be interested in that little spot over there. He said, I will be like the Most High, and he said, I had eye trouble. But one statement he said in Isaiah 14, he said, I will sit on a mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. And I think that is such a profound statement because that mount of the congregation or the mount of the assembly or the Har Moed, if you will, the Hebrew, is the mount of the congregation, which is the temple mount. So we have two superpowers or one superpower, one little squeaky devil who thinks that one day that place is going to be his. And it's all going back over there and it's all going to come to that place where he's going to show up over there, and proclaim himself to be, the proprietor of things and be doing great signs and wonders and et cetera. But I don't want to lose the story yet. I want to build this up here, Pastor Dan, for a moment.
Okay.
If you
I'm
go to the news.
Quiet about it.
Pardon me?
I was joking. I said I'm trying to be quiet about it and let you do that.
I'll tell
but
you
I'm
what.
I'm just seem to be interrupting you.
Oh no, you're not at all, brother. I hate to just go on talking without some interaction because I know you want to get in there.
Now, we'll talk about that for just a split second. The reason now some guests I talk to every right back and forth to. Other guests, I let them talk. You talk in a mannerism that is more of presentation, and there's nothing wrong with that. You put on a presentation, and the people like that because you know what you're doing. You're teaching them, and that's why a lot of people listen to this program because I have felt people like you come on, and you present a certain thing. You know what I mean? And then I try to just save my questions to the end. But don't feel bad about doing it that way because people like it. You're getting a lot of hits in the archives, so I know people are listening to you.
Well, thank you, brother, for that clarification. I just feel like I hog things sometimes, and you have to stop me and say, hey, wait a minute, buddy. You know, I would like to get in here.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Well, a hog's an abomination.
Yeah.
Go on. I'll shut up. It's that mood I'm in. I'm sorry.
Well, you've heard about the Obama abomination, haven't you?
Abomination?
Yeah, abomination. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think we discovered it, brother. No. All right. I'm sorry.
Okay. You better go on. Or we ain't going to have no time.
Let's get into the news for a moment because here's what I see taking place. I see a tremendous unraveling of the world and the Middle East. And as we look at the current news, I was just looking at the news here the last couple of days. And recognize that on one side of Israel, it's estimated that now that 130,000 people have been killed in the Syrian conflict. News article, Syrian peace talks overshadowed by intensified regional sectarian conflict. This article says that Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq are consumed with sectarian violence and with no side able to claim victory, a spike in violence is more likely as both sides work to change the facts on the ground. The Syrian war also appears to be spreading as a Sunni-Shiite conflict flows into Lebanon, where Al-Qaeda-linked jihadists have carried out a number of bombings against Hezbollah targets. Now, here we have Hezbollah, an Iranian-backed terrorist group who's hell-bent on destroying Israel and has 50,000 rockets pointed their way. is now into it with Al-Qaeda, and they're fighting against one another. That's incredible. And this is right up on the northern side of Israel. So here we have Syria on one side, which is going through a crazy, incredible amount of suffering over there. And on the south side, we have Egypt. In BBC, in today's news, it says Egypt violence is on an unprecedented scale. In an Amnesty report, the Middle East director, Abazi Sarui, said, Egypt has witnessed a series of damaging blows to human rights and state violence on an unprecedented scale over the last 7 months. Then we go to the NPR article just 2 days ago, which shares a very bleak picture of what's taking place in Iraq. It says, violence in Iraq goes from bad to worse. This article says, the violence in Iraq is getting even worse. To recap here, the ongoing Syrian civil war next door created lawless areas where Muslim extremists, Sunni Muslim extremists, from both countries could operate and find safe havens, which helped fuel a wave of hundreds of bombings in Iraq. I mean, at the AFP, we have confirmed that at least 25 car bombs in the past week only in Baghdad. And I mean, there have been other bombings north of the capital in cities such as Tikrit, Kirkuk, Mosul, and whatever that other name, I can't even pronounce that one. But
sound like me. I'm going to use that to butt in. Well, you ought to hear me when I in the Old Testament talking. Boy. Anyway.
Yes, sir.
You
do
have
understand
that problem? You know,
everyone's wrong. Okay, yes.
It's my turn. All right. Anyway, but we've only got – I interrupted you, and it was good timing because I got a laugh. But I'm just looking for laughs tonight. Anyway, seriously, you've got about 30 seconds to give your website, and then we'll go to break. And then we'll be quiet in the second half.
Website, surewordprophecy.org. For those of you who want to keep updated on current news, I try to update that on a daily basis. And there are some really good prophecy studies in there and stuff for prophecy enthusiasts.
All right. Well, folks, we'll be back in about 3 minutes. And, hey, for a moment there, it sounded like he forgot his website. We'll be right back, folks.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your
At
own
Sunbelt
doctor.
Bakery, we believe granola bars should taste fresh.
$95 plus $2 postage and handling. Or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, consider going over to the American Voice Radio Network and check out some of their other programs over there. Bo Grice is still there, and I really like to hear Wendy Wallace. She is a herbalist, and she has lots of things on her program. She comes on just before me on Thursday night. So go listen to some of those things, and, yeah, I'm putting a plug in them because it's an overall good station. And pray about supporting airtime. As you know, airtime does cost. Anyway, folks, also, remember to pray about it, a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And, you know, folks, the last few weeks, every time I get to this part and I start to put a plug in for the mission church to try to get some help, because we really need to get stocked with food. Really, we need to raise about $1,000 to $1,500 within the next couple of days. I mean, it's just really, really a big need. But when I start to go into that, I just keep feeling the on my heart that I want to tell you folks that you need to get right with the Lord. You just really need to get right and have a personal relationship with Yeshua. You need to do that. If you're not praying, you need to be on your face praying. I was also impressed to give you this scripture tonight, and this is one of my most favorite scriptures. It's in James chapter 2. It says, what does it profit, James chapter 2, 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Well, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Meaning, to somebody that has faith, your works come natural. You get up off the couch, you go do things. To us, the mission church shows our faith to believe that he will provide. 19. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Well, the devils believe also and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of Yahweh. So you see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was Rahab the harlot not justified by works, and she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For the body without spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead also. It's just like the Father tells you to do something, he feeds it to you through the Holy Spirit, says, I want you to do this, I want you to pray on this person. You don't sit there on the couch and pray on them. You get up off the couch, you go find that person, and you lay hands on them, and you pray on them. Well, that is the work of it. And it should come natural to somebody that believes. People ask me, Pastor Dan, why do you do what you do? Well, because it's a natural thing to do. I'm doing what's right, and that's my faith. And if we don't have no money, well, we've been going 14 years without no money. You know, now we received a building that could be considered anywhere worth. It was appraised the other day, up to $80,000.
When your immune system wants support,
we don't get it for a woman's shoulder. Did you really say that I was going to do it? Didn't say I'm thinking about it. We're going to do it. Do I have the money yet? No, but he will provide it when it's time for him to open it. Yeah, tonight, we really do need to raise some money within the next few days. We need about $1,500. So pray about it. You can donate online by mailing a check or money order. And remember, the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. So remember, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. Go to prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with the abomination of desolation. No, we're going to be talking about the abomination of desolation. Steve's not the abomination of desolation. Are you, Steve?
Well, I sure hope
that was an accident. I almost said we're going to be, now we're back with the abomination of desolation. I started to say, how are you, Steve? And,
that's right, brother. I was reading in my devotion this morning to comfort the feeble-minded. And I thought of you, and I thought about calling you.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that, really.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's a million comedians out of work, and I'm trying to be one, so you have to excuse
me. Okay, well, I'm going
to
let you have this half of the program.
Okay, my friend. Well, we see the storm brewing, Pastor Dan. Very evidently, the news, if you just look, in just a little bit, you're going to find out the Middle East is unraveling before our very eyes. We talked about Syria, Lebanon. We haven't talked about Jordan. 600,000 refugees that came out of Syria, and over 2 million that have dispersed out of Syria here just recently. And it's getting worse. And where are these people going to? They're out in little camps with nowhere to go. You think we have it bad? Try going over there for a little bit. It's just terrible, the things that you see. Just yesterday in Palestine, Mahmoud Abbas, the PA chairman of the Fatah Party, had called for violence against Israel and threatened to bomb Tel Aviv. I think there's some things going on here that we ought to be paying attention to. You know, over there right now, they're passing out gas masks and doing all kinds of drills over there in Israel. They know something's about to happen. And they're threats. So they're coming from now the Fatah and from the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade. And by the way, if you're not familiar with that group, they are planning on overtaking the Temple Mount and taking the Jews out. They threatened to turn El Aviv into a ball of fire. And, they have been bombing, certain locations. The region is boiling. One particular article that I saw here a couple of days ago, the region is boiling. Israel takes up a castle strategy. Out of New York Times, this article says that Mr. Netanyahu and other leaders continue to see Shiite Iran and its nuclear program as still the primary threat to Israel, and Hezbollah is the most likely to draw it into direct battle. Still, the mounting strength of extremist Sunni cells in Syria, Iraq, and beyond that are pledging to listen, bring jihad to Jerusalem can hardly be ignored. As the chaos escalates, Israeli officials insist that they have no inclination to intervene. Instead, they have embraced a castle mentality, hoping the moat they have dug in the form of a high-tech border fence, and we talked about that fence last time we spoke, intensified military deployments and sophisticated intelligence is broad enough to buy at least to buy a little more time. But we have to understand, is everything is going to be changed to what? I don't know, said the recent National Security Advisor of Israel. But we will have to be very, very cautious not to take part in the struggle. What we see now is a collapsing of a historical system, the idea of a national Arabic state, and it means that we will be encircled by an area which will be a no man's land at the end of the day. You know, I read these things, Pastor Dan, and I wonder, is there anyone awake? Do we not see that we are about to face the unraveling of the prophecies, the final end-day prophecies concerning Jerusalem and concerning this little place over there where it's all heading? You find...
I got to butt in.
Sure.
Really, that, I mean, brother, in all seriousness, and this goes out to all you folks out there, listen to him. Don't you see this? That's why we started sounding the shofar when the Arab Spring hit, because right now those nations are making the lining up of what is needed for the end time, for the last days, and you're not seeing it. I don't get it. And I don't get it why the church isn't screaming. Oh, well, is that because that a lot of the church just simply thinks they're going to be gone before the trouble's there? Brothers and sisters, you're going to be here for the tribulation. Back to you, Steve.
I think that's part of it, Pastor Dan. Your theology will dictate. I mean, really, if you don't think you're going to be here, then why pay attention to it? You know, and I think it's a fatal doctrine. I call it the doctrine of the unprepared. But if you look, there is a group of people that are getting ready to take out the Jews, and it's just so evident. Iran, just here last week, wound up, they're sending warships, listen to this, warships, and they're going to send them into the Atlantic. And that is making a whole bunch of people nervous. Along with that, other things that Iran has said here recently about throwing things in the face of the United States, even saying that they were not going to dismantle the program, and Israel is getting more and more nervous. Along with the fact that you find people like Iran's president saying, hey, we're going to wipe Israel off the map and it should be moved to Europe. Or the Hamas, the leadership of the Palestinian, I don't understand how you're ever going to have peace in that two-state solution they're trying to formulate with Hamas being part of the leadership. The leader, Hananiah, said, we'll never recognize a usurper Zionist government and we'll continue our jihad-like movement until the liberation of Jerusalem. And then he made another statement that we will affirm the armed resistance is our strategic option and the only way to liberate our land from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River. And we know what area that is. So, you know, they're making these emboldened, stark statements about their intent. And, I mean, they're just real out in the open with it, along with Iran talking about destroying Israel. And way back in 2002, the Iranian president said, if we have an atomic bomb, we'll use it on Israel. And, you know, we think that their intent is changing. And we're over there making deals with them right now and giving them, unleashing some assets and stuff. But now Iran's going to be sending warships into the Atlantic. What in the world is going on here?
Did you hear the other part? Did you hear the Iranian guy come on the air yesterday? And he said specifically, because I talked about it today on radio with Stan Johnson. I do prophecy or the prophecy club with him. But he specifically said that all the rhetoric that Obama is saying about dismantling weapons is wrong. They are dismantling nothing. They only agreed to go down to 5%, I think. And the statistics by that way say that they're only, you know, actually a month away from making a bomb if they so choose to. So they're not dismantling anything. And Obama will not release the paperwork that says what was really agreed upon. So you're being fooled by that wonderful president again, folks. Back to you.
Absolutely. What did Netanyahu say? A wolf in sheep's clothing?
Something like that.
He called Ahmadinejad a wolf in wolf's clothing, but he called the new Rouhani a wolf in sheep's clothing. And Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world. And every one of the people that they're sponsoring, their whole intent is to destroy Israel and to overtake Jerusalem. It's very clear. One of the articles I read out of a book, it said that millions of Muslims are coveting Jerusalem, and the armies are carrying black flags, which will come from Khorasan, Iran, No power will be able to stop them, and he will finally reach Elia, the Dome on the Rock in Jerusalem, where they will erect their flags. It's right out in the open that they're out there to set their sights on Jerusalem. In fact, I found an article here not long ago that says Iran has its eyes set on Jerusalem. And it shows a picture in this article of a couple of soldiers walking down the street and this big banner with the Al-Aqsa Mosque on it. And it says pictures of the Al-Aqsa are depicted throughout Tehran as Iran celebrates the Hamas terrorist victories in Palestine. Jerusalem is front and center in the drive behind Iran's thrust to acquire nuclear weapons as Iran intends to eliminate any Israeli presence in Jerusalem. So as we build up this scenario of what happens at this place, it's imperative to understand how can the world get together and be so deceived at the end to be able to buy into a plan that's going to be looked at as a very legitimate plan to be able to keep the world from annihilating each other. And so at some point, what happens is there's this great, these birth pangs that you were speaking. You know, when a woman goes to have a baby, they're not so hard when they start and not too frequent. But as the time comes for the delivery of the child, they get harder and get more frequent. And I think that some of these Islamic, I want to call them maniacs. I'm sorry if I've offended anyone there, but if you look at their holy books, they propagate some pretty amazing things in their holy books. I'm going to look one up here. It says, I'm looking at a sign on one of my presentations. It says, behead those who say Islam is violent. In the Quran 8 and verse 12, your Lord inspired the angels with the message, I will terrorize the unbelievers, therefore smite them on their necks and every joint and incapacitate them, strike off their head and cut off each of their fingers and toes. One other verse in the Quran, verse 5 and 33, they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. See, friends, this type of mentality is all around Israel, and these people are led with the holy book that propagates that everything needs to be subjugated underneath the foot of Islam, and that's why they're so focused on Israel, and especially Jerusalem, because it is an affront to Islam that, in fact, the Jews still have sovereignty over that Temple Mount, and that is bottom line, okay? We see other articles. The Allah Highlight Jahida article says, we will never recognize the state of Israel, he added to the masses. Allah willing, we will meet in Jerusalem, the liberated capital of Jerusalem. I think I shared with you here the last time I was on the program, Pastor Dan, about the now he's now out of office, but boy, Egypt is now really in a terrible sort. So I don't know if you're watching that, but it's really their economy is worse than it was in 1930.
I had Joe Richardson on a couple of weeks ago, and he brought it into perspective I forget what scriptures he used, but yeah, he brought it into perspective with some scripture about how Egypt is prophesied to be in turmoil and fighting each other right now. And so,
yes, there's Isaiah 19 others. So yes, sir. It's coming. Yeah. Morsi, when he was introduced into the leadership of Egypt and they were campaigning, it said very clearly, our capital will not be in Mecca or Medina, but Jerusalem, and where millions of Shaheeds will march on the city. And if they don't get Jerusalem, then they'll die as martyrs on its ruins. So it's so clear that the focal point of Islam is heading to that place because it's an affront. The Jews and the sovereignty of that occupied territory, and when you hear occupied, that just simply means that the Jews are occupying Arab land or Islamic land. And I think I spoke to you a little bit about the House of Peace and the House of Pain last time. mm-hmm. where there are two, the House of Peace are the ones that are Islamic dominated, but the House of Pain are those states, including the United States, that still are not underneath the foot of Islam, and it is their intent to go into those areas and to take over. And don't think that they're sure not trying to do that. So we go back to the prophecy of the abomination of desolation, and we put other angles on it. In the book of Luke, I have no doubt that in AD 70 there was a partial fulfillment, but I see a repeat and enlargement of this destruction of Jerusalem at the end. Yeshua declared at one point, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. Now, then he connects this with these statements. He says, and know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And we know that in Matthew it ties it into a time of trouble such as ever was. And when you look at the Jewish besiegement in AD 70, there were only maybe 1,100,000 died there. But when you look at the Holocaust of 6 million, you look at World War I with maybe, 15 million, World War II, 40 million that died, the Spanish flu in 4 years, 50 million, I can think of a lot greater tribulation since the destruction of Jerusalem back in AD 70. But Yeshua tied this to a time such as ever was, and had not time been shortened, no flesh will be saved. So we have to look for something outside of AD 70. So when we look at this scripture again in that light, he says very clearly, let them which are in Judea flee the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it, the midst of who? Jerusalem, depart out of it. And let not them that are in the countries enter into it. I don't think I even want to take a tour to Israel. there are a lot of them saying, hey, let's go to Israel and take a tour. I think I'm going to watch it from a distance. Yeshua tied it to this. For these be the days, please listen, days of vengeance, that a few things which are written will be fulfilled. No, that's not what he said. He said, these are the days of vengeance that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now, when you go over there to the book of Daniel, and I spoke to you here a few months ago when we were on the program about the initiating of the abomination of desolation, that it would start with a war between certain countries. And in Daniel chapter 8, the first reference that you find to the abomination of desolation is found in Daniel 8 and verse 13. But when you do an extensive study on the abomination of desolation, you're going to find out that there's something tied into that that no one ever speaks about, and it's called the Hebrew word tamid, or the daily. And they put the word sacrifice in a King James version, try to give meaning to the word daily, or the Hebrew word tamid. Now, in Daniel 8, the question is how long will be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation to give both the host and the sanctuary to be trodden underfoot? Now, I might be going on a little bit off pattern here, and I hope you guys are staying with me. But there is something happening in the holy place with the daily, and it's called a transgression of desolation. That's the first place that you find it, and that's in Daniel 8. And so when you look at the chronological sequence of Daniel 8, you find that what happens before this, the thing comes to the holy place, will be a war between certain countries, and I identified them as the kings of the Medes and Persians, and Gabriel put these particular countries at the end of time. Not in 539 B.C., not in 330 B.C., but at the end of time, these countries of Iraq and Iran, and where that goat stood there on that river, the Karun River, right there at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, that ram began to push. And when that ram began to push in three different directions, in which one direction was west, Daniel sees this goat from across the surface of the whole earth come from the west with a great nation or a great horn leading the way, and he's extremely angry at this ram that is beginning to bully and take dominance over in that region. So when you see Iran and what they're doing right now and what they're saying about Jerusalem and their intent, It's pretty incredible. But let's go back. I'm getting a little bit off base here. I want to go back to the scripture.
Let me come in then for a minute.
Sure.
Well, the reason being I don't want to come in is because really you are out of time. So you're clearly not done with this, are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I wasted your time. No.
I'm just getting pumped up, man.
So listen, what we're going to do is we're going to call this part one.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if I don't remember if I'm clear next week or not, but we'll talk about it, brother, and we'll do part two and let you finish it up. How's that?
My friend, thank you for the opportunity. May Yahweh bless you.
Well, I feel responsible, you know. Anyway, I love you, brother, and I do appreciate you. And again, folks, go and listen to Steve Henderson in the archives, because join the many that do go to the archives and listen to him. And actually, if you search around, there's about three different archives on the net that have our programs on it. And there's a bunch of podcast places that pick it up. So anyway, Steve, be blessed, my brother, and do come back on, and I'll get with you with the date. Right after radio, I'll look it up and send you an email, and I'll send you my son's email address so you can talk to him about that other thing you want to talk to him about, the graphic.
Okay.
So,
love you, brother.
All right.
Bless you, friend. Bye-bye.
All right. Got to go. Bye-bye. Be blessed. Well, folks, that leaves me with about maybe 2 minutes anyway. Yeah, and don't forget, there's always the AVR archives. They actually get them up faster than me. He's pretty quick on the draw, and Frank's even says it even has a picture of me on it. Isn't that sweet? Anyway, but go to the American Voice Radio archives, but there are some places to pick up, and you can download them there, just like you can download them from ours. But anyway, do pray about it. We are really trying to raise some money this week. We need to raise about $1,500 at least. And somebody emailed Frank or something during the thing and wanted to know if I'd be insulted if they gave $10. $10 for the homeless can buy a lot of things, especially you go to the Dollar Tree. We can buy a bottle of aspirins for $1. You can buy a bottle of cough syrup for $1. Peroxide, that list goes on and on. $10 will buy some bread. That'll buy 10 loaves of bread when Dillon's has it on sale. Otherwise, it's 9 loaves. But $10 will go a lot of place. But what it is, it goes back to that. It's about your heart. If your heart's in the right place, then it doesn't matter what size donation. If that's what you have and that's what you're sending because your heart's in the right place, then you'll get rewarded for it. But I got to get out of here. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. Ours, not just yours, but ours, all of ours. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and only through him. Only through him is the word of the Father. Well, make sure you tune in next week. I'll have some good guests and check out the archives. We did a good program on Mission Watch tonight about Obamacare disaster with a doctor. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.